You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. This episode is being released on October 31st, 2024. And this week we're talking about a woman who is a pastor of a church and is charging women up to $17,000 a year to be part of her inner circle. Now, as you can imagine, there have been some strong reactions to this, and I thought it would be good for us to consider some points about this here today. For links to the story we're talking about and some other related materials, check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/10/31/24. Now for our story this week. Megachurch pastor's wife charging $16,999 to be part of her inner circle. From Protestia, Nicole Crank from Faith Church in St. Louis offers a circle of friends, a membership class where congregants and passersby can pay her $29.99 a month to have access to her best sermons, participate in a group monthly Zoom call with her, receive the occasional free book in the mail, and attend monthly guest influencer sessions with folks like Christine Kane, Mike Todd, and Joel Osteen. For those who can afford more, she has created the exclusive Inner Circle Masterclass for only $16,999 a year. Here, members who want to go deeper will receive a year-long exclusive mastermind led by Nicole Crank, where she will help women. And then the article continues to describe what exactly that membership is all about, what is involved in it. Now, many of the comments that I saw about this, both in the article and on social media, were critical of her. And much of that criticism may be fair. Now, I also don't know anything about her. So for some of these people, this may be one more thing to criticize. And so they jumped on more harshly than maybe someone who didn't know anything about her. And to be fair, this is more of a mastermind group that includes coaching for the members and things like that. But there is a reason why the term friends is used. This is not just a business relationship or a professional relationship. So a few questions that I had as I read this article was, why would she limit her inner circle? Because not everyone is able to be part of this. And why would she charge so much for this? And why would anyone pay it? Now, I'm not endorsing her or the approach that she took, but this example does illustrate some hard realities about our relationships with other Christians that this type of model attempts to address, not in the way that's appropriate, but it attempts to address those hard realities. So there are a few ideas I want to consider today. First, close personal relationships are valuable. This is true in the business world where people pay a lot of money for coaches, like what this is an example of, or the value that is found in mentors. This is true in our personal lives, the value that we have in our spouses, our children, our friends, and things like that. And it's true in the church, particularly the local church of which we are a member. The wise man said, "Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Did you notice what he said there? It's something that I've overlooked for a long time, but he said, "One man sharpens another." We sometimes want to emphasize how many people we can reach, and that's easy to do, especially online, where you could potentially reach people around the world. I might look and see how many people listen to the podcast, or how many people read the newsletter I put out each week, or how many people share a particular post. We all do things like that. And it's good to reach as wide as we can, but let's not forget the value in reaching one person, especially at a personal level. That is valuable. And second, when it comes to our relationship with other Christians, we need more than just a superficial relationship. We need to encourage one another day after day, as long as it's still called today, so that none of us will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. That requires more time together than just when the church assembles. We are to confess our sins to one another and pray for one another so that we may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Well, that requires a level of trust that is developed over time. We are to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. That requires us to be more than just acquaintances. And when Paul talked about exercising church discipline against a brother who was in sin, he said, "If anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, Take special note of that person and do not associate with him so that he will be put to shame. But for that to work, in order to get him to repent, we had to associate with that brother before he fell into sin. Otherwise, what's the difference? Third, we are limited on how many people we can have a close relationship with. As a church gets larger, it is not possible to be close to everyone. Now, many people want to go to a bigger church because of all the people who are there, but bigger is not always better. This is just a matter of practicality. Remember, Jesus selected 12 apostles, and from that number, he spent a lot of time with just his inner circle of Peter, James, and John. This is just the natural way that human beings interact with one another. Your inner circle at a church of 200 people may be the same size as your inner circle would be in a church of 50 people. We are limited on how many people we can have a close relationship with. That's just how we are as human beings. Fourth, it is unsustainable for the leaders in a church to be close to everyone as it gets larger and larger. The woman in that story is a so-called pastor of that church with her husband. We're not going to get into that about what the New Testament says about a woman serving in that role. I'll include some material in the show notes if you want to read more on that. But think about the biblical role of elders, these men who pastor or shepherd the flock. We talked about this a few weeks ago in an episode about whether or not a church can get too big. I'll link to that episode in the show notes if you haven't listened to that yet. But this is a real concern. How many people realistically can elders oversee? Peter wrote, "Therefore I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker of the glory that is to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock." Elders have charge over the flock that is among them, and their ability to oversee them is not unlimited. They are not omniscient as God is. Then the Hebrew writer said, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you." Elders in the church will give an account for the souls of the ones that they watched over. Well, how many people can they reasonably watch for? And an even smaller number are the ones that they can be close to. Caring for the members, watching over them, shepherding them, that's one thing, but a close relationship, that's something more. And then fifth, final point, we are responsible for building relationships with other Christians. This will take an effort from us outside of the assembly and beyond the regular meeting times of the church. The early Christians met from house to house and ate meals together, as Acts 2 and verse 46 says. They were to encourage one another day after day, that passage that we looked at already in Hebrews chapter 3. And they did that without cell phones, without social media, but they were still able to encourage one another and be in contact with one another. And there was an expectation that Christians enjoyed the social company of one another, so that if a brother sinned and had to be withdrawn from, there was a change in that relationship that could hopefully wake him up about the seriousness of his sin. Now, it's not the church's work to facilitate social events for us. We don't see that in the New Testament. We also don't need to wait for our brethren to reach out to us. We can take the initiative. Remember what the wise man wrote, "A man who has friends must himself be friendly." Relationships are valuable, especially close personal relationships. We should be able to find these in the local church of which we are a member. But it is impossible to be close to everyone, especially as the church gets larger. And the same is true for the elders who oversee that congregation. They keep watch over us, they shepherd us, but that doesn't mean they can be close with everyone in the congregation. That's just not possible as the church gets larger and larger. So for us, we need to do what we can to build relationships with others so that we can have that close inner circle of like-minded Christians who can encourage us and help us and hold us accountable. And if we don't have that, we need to be looking to see how we can start to have that. That's all for this week. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. Hope you found this episode to be helpful. For links to the story we talked about and some other related materials, Check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/10/31/24. If you have a moment to rate and review the podcast or share it with others, that is certainly appreciated. And if you're listening to this, remember that we also upload video versions of the podcast to the Plain Bible Teaching YouTube channel. So if you prefer to watch this on video, that option is there for you. And if you are watching this on YouTube, please like this video and subscribe to the channel so you can see the other videos we post here from time to time. And if you see a news story or have some topic that you think would make for a good discussion, send that to me at andy@plainbibleteaching.com. Thanks again for listening, and I hope to talk to you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others. Also, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter will be delivered to your inbox each Friday with articles, podcasts, videos, sermon outlines, and more. Visit plainbibleteaching.com to subscribe today.